This is WNHH 103.5 FM, the New Haven Independent.org. And I am Michelle Turner, and I have the good fortune of being the host of the show. And this Thursday's guest is probably somebody you've been listening to around town for a little while.
Oh, wow.
And I just caught on probably in early spring, but he is a fantastic singer and performer. His band is wonderful, even though it's small. It's small but mighty, as we like to say. So I have in the studio with me today, Manny James Sorrell.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here. I've been trying to get you here for a while.
I knew he was going to say that. I'm here, though.
Yeah, you are here, and I appreciate that so much. So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Why music? And when was the first time you figured out that I can sing?
That's funny you say that. So for me, music was always a part of who I am. My DNA, before I even realized that I had an ability to sing, I was a fan of music. Sam Cooke, listening to a lot of gospel when I was younger, a lot of soul. Marvin Gaye, Donny Hathaway, all those type of artists. Those are the people that influenced me. My first time I remember, and I remember it clearly, I was in fourth grade. My music teacher, Mrs. Kumar, asked me to perform at, it was like a assembly.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to be the MC, but she also wanted me to sing. She knew, because I was in a little choir, she knew I could sing a little bit. And I remember singing, and I remember the whole auditorium just kind of stopped. It felt like everything kind of stopped moving and everybody just kind of sat back and looked. And when I finished singing, everybody stood up and started clapping. And I'm like, wait, this might be something that I really need to pursue. So fourth grade, I would say I realized that it was something special. And I realized that it was an instrument and a gift and people would respond to it. So
now, do you play any instruments besides just using your voice?
I'm a songwriter. I'm working on actually taking piano lessons now to actually play a little bit. I'm not trying to be the greatest pianist, but I want to be able to create my art from scratch. So
it can help you with your lyrics and writing kind of developing what you're hearing in your head.
Right. Because my voice is an instrument, but actually physically playing an instrument, not yet.
So how many bands have you been in?
One.
Just, this is it?
It's the same band. We've had some rotation, but it's the same band from the beginning.
And how long have you all been around now?
2008? Maybe 2008.
Okay.
We were at the R Bar for a long time, and we just kind of played a little bit everywhere. We've been at Oakdale and on bigger venues as well. So it's been doing very well.
Who's the most popular or famous person you've opened for so far?
I actually did a performance at, I'll open up for Duelle, but we did a performance.
Which is a good fit for you.
Yes.
A good fit.
It was a very good fit. But we did the Oakdale, and that bill had Carl Thomas, RL from Next, Toto, Biz Markie. So we kind of opened the show for that show, and it was probably like maybe 20 or 30 acts. So it was good to be able to have the opportunity to open up and kind of set the stage for everything that went on. So
if you preferred, if you had a preference.
Who would I open up for?
No, I'll ask you that later.
Okay. Okay.
Would you sing or would you songwrite?
Sing. Because it's the ultimate expression for me. That's my way of communicating. When I can't actually articulate it speaking, the easiest way to do it is to sing it. There's no other way for me. And it's my therapy. It's a release. I feel like people connect with me more when I sing. When I often get lost in my performances because I'm also expressing myself. It's not just me giving it to the crowd. It's me, you know, expressing myself, whatever I'm going through or whatever I need to express that's in the song. So definitely sing. But I love to write, too.
So you mentioned earlier that you had some new project coming up. So is this your first? And then we'll talk about the project. But is this your first real project?
My second real project.
Okay.
So the first project was called Just Being Honest. Did very well. It debuted at number 14 on the iTunes R&B Soul charts.
Wow.
Right. That was a blessing.
How long
ago? 2014.
Okay. So
came out the 4th of July weekend.
A
couple of years. Still doing very well. Got a lot of attention. Opened up some doors for me. So that went well. Then I did an acoustic album kind of off of some of the songs from Just Being Honest. But this is a new continuation, completely different thing.
So, same band?
Same band. Same
any,
band.
Nothing. Any additions locally to bring in for extra things, or is just you guys?
It's just us. The band doesn't really play on the album, but they play when I do the shows.
Okay.
That's the energy I do for the shows. But my team has not changed. I've had some additions as far as the team goes, just some other people who wanted to be a part of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than that, I'm very excited. It comes out November-ish, probably early fall.
Okay. Is it an EP or
it's an
is
EP.
It's going to be a download type?
It's an EP right now, but I'm still writing and still recording it. So who knows, okay. It may turn into an LP. I mean, they're like, oh, we're done. Nope, not really. I got four more songs.
So do you find that, though, is the studio enchanting or is it more work? Is it like you go in and you say, okay, I got these three songs in me. Mm-hmm. Let me get these three and then you're supposed to have six.
Right. The studio for me, I'll say this, and I think it's because I've performed so much live, it's fairly easy for me. Mm-hmm. Even when it's a difficult song, I'm able to articulate the song in a way that needs to be done. So mm-hmm. when you hear it on a record, you're like, wow, you still feel it. Because for me, there's a huge difference between recording in the studio and playing
right.
live.
And performing completely, live, yeah.
It's completely different. And a lot of people don't understand that. But I would say for me, it's fairly easy.
Okay, so explain what the difference is for you.
Okay.
Performing live as opposed to being in the studio.
Right.
Or just, you know, sitting around the house and right. you decide to kick a note.
Right. Performing. So performing live is just, it's the raw energy. Mm-hmm. It's the excitement of the people. In the studio, there is none of that. It's just you, the microphone, and the song. And you have to articulate the song in a way that when people hear it, they connect to it. Completely different thing. When you're live, you feed off of people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's completely different.
It's an energy. It's a vibe, right?
It's a completely
right?
different vibe and energy. And you can kind of freestyle and go to different things. A lot of times I'll have an idea of what I want to do, but the song will take me someplace else. In the studio, no. Mm-hmm. Stick to the format. Here's the song. You wrote the song. Here's what we need to do. Let's do this. Let's do. But you still have to give it the same kind of energy that you give it live. Because that's what makes people feel like they're a part of the record and want to go on and support the record. So
talk a little bit about the project.
Okay.
You know, fast songs, slow songs, mid-tempo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you on a Duelle vibe? Or are you just solely Manny James?
Right.
Or
right. I feel like this project is a conglomerate of a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's some mids, there's some slow, there's some vibey records where it just feels a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's not really a thing for the project. It's kind of like me doing different types of songs and we put them all together, but they still all flow together, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like let's do 10 fast records, five.
Right,
we didn't do any of that. We were just like, let's do, you know, here's an idea for this song. Let's create this record. For every song we did that. So there wasn't no blueprint or we need to do this or we need to do this. No, we're just going to create what we feel is great music. And I feel like at the end of the day, great music always, always finds a place.
Always. It always wins.
And when it's authentic.
Yeah.
It needs to be authentic. It can't be you trying to be someone else. And, you know, the artists that I mentioned earlier, I think that's what made them great is they were authentic. Mm-hmm. There's no other Sam Cooks.
Right.
There's Donny Hathaway, Marvin Gaye, right. Michael Jackson, Prince, Stevie Wonder. One of a kind. That's when you become an artist. And that's when you take your music to the next level. So that's what I strive to be.
So there's always the songs that don't make it.
Right.
So right. do you, I don't want to say cut out.
Mm-hmm.
But do you leave in the sleeve, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
What's your qualifications or what is it that makes the song, one song, better for you
mm-hmm.
than the one that doesn't make
mm-hmm.
that final cut?
For me, it's feel. It's feel. Like, how does it feel? Does this record feel better than this record? It's not even a technical thing for me. Because technically, the record that we put to the side can be technically better than the other one. But if that other record feels better, I always go with the one that feels better. Because your instincts and your heart and mm-hmm. your soul and your spirit and your energy are always going to tell you the right direction to go. So that's always been the way for me. I don't really, you know, everybody has a plan and No, I don't really put myself in a box with anything. I'm just like, okay, this record feels amazing. The people have to get this. And there's an album, a song of my first album that actually we debated on that. And it became one of the most popular songs. It's called She Is Love. It has a reggae feel. And when we were working on it and I recorded it, I wrote it about my wife. And my producer was like, I don't know how people are going to accept that. Mm-hmm. And it became one of the most, it's like everyone's favorite song. But I felt it. I knew.
Yeah, I knew.
I was like, this record feels incredible. And I played it it has a Caribbean feel, Jamaican mm-hmm. feel. So mm-hmm. played it for some of my friends who were West Indian and they were like, oh my God, we love it.
So when you're, what drives your process? Because mm-hmm. for a lot of artists, you know, they have a so-called muse.
Right.
You know, some people just take what they see every day. Mm-hmm. Some people derive from feeling. Mm-hmm. Other people take life experience. Mm-hmm.
Mine is a little bit of everything. I would say ultimately it's everyday life, everyday experience, everything I see, I take it in. And at some point it comes out in the music. Also my personal life, my personal stories, things that have happened to people around me, mm-hmm. I always channel all of that into my music. So again, it's authentic. Somebody's going to be able to relate. At the end of the day, you know, people create to make money. I create to express myself. I create to reach people. I create to have people feel like this is for me and give people a voice.
But it would be nice to get paid for it.
Yeah, well, of course.
Especially now that you have another addition right. in your life.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that is the plan. Yes. So, and get compensated well.
Yes, and get compensated exceedingly well.
Right. Yes. Definitely.
So, anybody in the family sing? Was this something that people were like, was your family surprised? Because one of the best stories I've heard about Chaka Khan mm-hmm. was that her mom had no idea that she had this voice. Mm-hmm. And her aunt told her mom, she said, listen, come to this talent show. Mm-hmm. Chaka's going to sing a couple of songs. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come. You mm-hmm. know, she said she was really tired, long mm-hmm. day. She gets there. And her daughter steps on stage and unleashes this voice. And she's like, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. her mother says, I don't know where she got it from.
Right. I will say this. My father sings a little bit. My sister sings a little bit. But no, not to that level where you can be considered professional. Mm-hmm. No, it was just, you know, I have people in my family that are musically inclined, but
never took it to that. No, that next step.
Yep. It was just a gift that God gave me. And I knew. I remember like writing a little song when I was little. When I was mm-hmm. like 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I was already dabbling in it and I could harmonize and do things. And my friends in the neighborhood, you know, I grew up in church yourself right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And they would be like, whoa, like you can sing for real. And I'm like, and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I
yeah.
love to do. And,
yeah.
you know, the reaction from people showed me like, wow,
this might be real.
This might be legit. Like you might want to get on this right here. You might want to take this serious. So, right. So that's it for me. You know, it's a gift from God, and I take it like that, and I use it. I try to make sure that I use it for the right reasons. I try to make sure that it uplifts people and inspires people. That's very, very, very important to me.
How so?
I want people to feel like, you know, there's enough negative energy in the world. There's enough. We go through enough as people. So mm-hmm. I wanted to give people something that can help them through that. That's everybody needs that. Everybody needs something to channel, you know. And for me, the music is a way to channel everything that's negative in your life and just go through it, even if it's taking you through certain emotions. Sometimes you need to cry. Sometimes you need to be angry. Whatever the record is, it makes you feel like that. And now you can go on with your life. So I definitely want to use that to my music to help change the world, which is Stevie Wonder. You know,
yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
What made those artists great, Prince, is their music changed the world. Whitney Houston, it changed the world. So ultimately, that's it for me.
So when you do perform,
mm-hmm.
do you have, when you walk into a place, a mm-hmm. space, okay,
mm-hmm.
do you have a set list?
Yep.
Or do you say, okay, this crowd doesn't look like this set list goes mm-hmm. with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a pretty big following. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a minute. Right. So how do you derive your set list? You know, mm-hmm. like besides your own material,
mm-hmm.
what else, how do you determine what goes on the set list? And is it crowd? Is it venue? Mm-hmm. Is it both?
Mm-hmm.
How does that come together for you?
It's a mixture of both. But ultimately for me, when I create a set list, it's to say, I'm going to take these people here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take everyone in the room on a musical journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter where we are venue wise. Good music is good music.
True.
You know what I mean? So even if it's not the crowd for it, if you do it and you do it a certain way, they're going to appreciate it. They're going to get with it. I did a wedding in Darien a few weeks back, and the gentleman who booked me, the groom, is like, people haven't stopped talking about the wedding. But I knew it wasn't necessarily the crowd.
Right.
Right. So, but they really loved it. They didn't stop dancing the whole time. So you take into consideration the venue and the people. And then sometimes I'll call it audible. I'll be like, okay, we're not doing that. That's not going to work here. Let's switch that up. And I'm always trying to think ahead.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the reaction of people. I'm seeing their eyes. I'm seeing if they're clapping. I'm seeing if they're talking too much. If they're talking too much, they're not engaged. So I need to give them something that's going to keep them engaged.
And keep them on the dance floor.
I like to party.
So yeah, because
I need everybody to party.
I'm every time I've seen you,
right.
everybody's right. on I mean, the floor.
Know. Right.
You
right.
know, it's right. never been, you know, like, okay, it's four people.
Nope. Because I mean, you want to come and have a good time.
Yeah.
You want to come and have a good time. You want to release. You had a long week. You need a beverage. You need some food. You need some incredible music. I'm here to provide that.
And live music mm-hmm. is beginning to be popular once again.
I love it. It had died for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, when I was a younger person.
Mm-hmm. A little bit younger.
Right. That's all we had.
Right.
You know, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd go someplace. Hip hop was not around then. Yes.
Right.
So, you know, you had live bands.
Right.
You know, everybody had a band.
Right.
I was teasing Earl Whitaker
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
because
the
I
legend.
Was like, you know, because I was saying to him, I said, well, you know, you probably greeted the pilgrims when they came to New England.
Because
how long. And I distinctly remember him doing a dance for us when mm-hmm. I was in junior high school.
Right.
And he's only a couple of years older than me.
The golden voice.
Yeah. So, right. you know, I grew up with that.
Right.
That was all of our dances,
right.
you
right.
know. And then hip hop came along
and changed the
and changed the dynamic.
Right.
You know, and then it would be, okay, so you go into, you know, your grandmother's got tickets to a dance and, you know, you got a live band and all the young people are sitting there and they're up dancing.
Right.
You know, and now I think it's going back to that.
I agree.
I think it's going back to that.
I agree.
And the funny for me that I never will forget is that my cousin's prom band was Kool & the Gang because she's from Newark. Yes. That was their prom band.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That is
right. And they got pictures of it in their yearbook
that
and everything.
That's pretty epic. JT so, and the fellas. That's pretty epic. Wow.
Yeah, this is even before him.
Wow.
Yeah, this is like cool.
The original.
Yes. Okay. This is cool.
Wow.
In the game.
Wow.
You know? So live music, it seems, has slowly made its way
full
back.
Full circle.
Right. It's come full circle.
Right.
And you are a real part of that in this city.
I appreciate that.
So mm-hmm. how often are you out and playing?
Well, I'm out more now. For a while I had kind of not took a hiatus, but I was just kind of working on my project, had a new baby. I was kind of low key,
mm-hmm.
But with the project coming out, I'm really looking to play more and engage the people more and let them know, listen, I'm still here. I didn't mm-hmm. go anywhere. I know you haven't seen me for a little while, but I'm probably out a couple times a month, like maybe 4 or 5 times. But I'm also looking to, I play some in New York and venues like that. So I'm looking to do some more of that. But New Haven definitely is home. So
yeah.
I want to be able to give my people something to look forward to.
Now, does it matter? Does the venue matter to you?
Yes, but only in this respect. For me, it's about how I'm treated at the venue.
Okay.
The money thing is cool. You know, you got your fee and all of that. But if for me, it's a certain level of respect that needs to be there. And if it's mm-hmm. not there, and I've dealt with venues, owners, promoters who are not the nicest people. And those people I refuse to have another conversation with. We don't even have anything to talk mm-hmm. about at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a no-nonsense person. I put a lot of time and effort into my craft to get to this point. So at the end of the day, I need for you to respect
that.
Respect who we are, respect what I do. Even if you never heard me, somebody here has heard of me. And right. The reason they have is because I carry myself a certain way, and I like to make sure that I bring a certain level of entertainment when I come and perform. So.
And it seems that your fans, if mm-hmm. you will, mm-hmm. have that same kind of respect.
Yeah, they do.
Because they're funny. I watched yeah. them that night at
right.
Anchor.
Right.
You know, it's like there's 4 or 5 people coming,
right.
you know,
right.
and maybe 2 of them have heard you before right. and the other 2 haven't.
Right.
But now it flips over to those 4 will right. bring an extra 4.
That's exactly what happens.
And it keeps going.
That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. So that's important. You know, like I said, I do venue wise, I want a place that I feel comfortable in,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
I feel it's safe.
Yes.
Where I feel like people can, anybody can come out and feel like, okay, nothing's going to happen here. That's important to me. So I do try to look for those type of things. I will come check out your place and be like, no, this is not.
But mm-hmm.
no. Not gonna be able to do this. This is no. So
doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And there's no disrespect to anybody,
right.
but I pride myself on being a certain type of person, and I'm an artist. I'm not just somebody's doing this to be doing it. I'm a real artist. So
yeah.
I need to be in a place that I feel is conducive to that. So
when you get that energy, mm-hmm. what happens in the opposite? Like, what was your first time experiencing that, it's not working?
Yeah, that's happened. That's happened. And you, and
although
you,
I wouldn't believe it would happen to you, but I know how things go.
It's happened, and you fight through it. And at the end of the night, you'd be like, that was terrible. That was a terrible night. I'm a real dude. So I'm like, this was trash. We're never doing this again. We need to go back to the drawing board. It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened. I've been in venues and people just looking at you. Then I've been in venues been at performances where people don't look like they're enjoying it. But at the end of the night,
yeah.
all you hear from the people that booked you
yeah.
is like, everybody loved it. So it doesn't necessarily, everybody doesn't give it in their body language.
Some yeah, it doesn't show up the same all the time.
Some people are just looking at you,
uh-huh.
but they're loving it. And they tell all their friends about it. And that actually, it was just happened last year. So I did a performance for a scholarship dinner, the AKAs, and I didn't know whether they enjoyed it or not. But the person that booked me explained to me, listen, everybody loved it. And I'm like, are you sure? They're like, no, trust me. Because they just didn't give off.
They didn't give off that kind of energy.
No, they didn't give off that kind of energy at all. So, but then, you know, for me, I'm doing everything from the heart. And as long as I do it from the heart and I'm honest with who I am and honest with the music and articulating the message of the music the way it's supposed to be done, I don't even worry about that stuff. Everything else take care of itself.
How do you, or what advice would you give to a young person
mm-hmm.
who has this same kind of goal,
mm-hmm.
what would you say to them?
Learn the business.
Because it is a business.
It's a business. Learn the business. Value your product, which is yourself. Develop your art. Work to become the best artist that you can be. And just work hard. And stay humble. That's it. Don't let anybody deter you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't make it. You don't have a chance. I heard all of that as a kid. I still hear it. I still hear it. There are people that are doubt and don't believe that you're going to be able to do what you do. And I just keep pushing. And then every time I hurdle another obstacle, they're like, wow. I'm like, yep. Thank you. Thank you. It's just motivation for me.
Yeah.
Never, ever allow anybody to stop you from living out your dream. That's probably the most important message. Never ever let that happen, because a lot of people, they give up on their dream too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walt Disney didn't become Walt Disney until I think he was 48 years old.
Right.
You know, Bill Gates, all these different successful people, they didn't, it happened for them later on in their life. So there's not a timeline on it. You can't be like, oh, if I don't make it by this age,
right.
that's not realistic. Everybody's time is their time. When it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. But you need to be ready.
Well, that goes back to, you know, being a 12-year overnight success, so
right.
to speak.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's that idea that people right. don't see the work that it takes to get
don't.
To that point.
They don't. And for me, that's almost like a slap in the face sometimes, because I feel like, you know, when you go to do these shows, people kind of take for granted everything that you did to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Vocal training. When I go home, most times, if somebody audio or videotapes my performance, I go home and study and mm-hmm. see what I did wrong. I don't care mm-hmm. if it's 3:00 in the morning. I go to see what else I can improve on. My wife is like, why are you not in the bed? I'm like, I'm working. But she knows by now.
Right.
I have
She's
to.
Used to you.
She's used to me. I have to really see because I'm always trying to get better at my craft. And that's extremely important to me. You don't ever want to get comfortable because it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. It's a platform that you've been given for a reason. And the moment you get comfortable, you can lose it all.
Yeah. It changes. It can change.
Absolutely. We've seen artists. We've seen artists who were extremely successful. But now you hear them and you're like, what happened? They got comfortable. They got rich. They got comfortable. They stopped caring. They stopped doing what they did to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And now this is where they are.
And this is where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So for you,
mm-hmm.
what does success look like with your music as an artist?
Mm. Funny, I had this conversation a couple of months ago, and I felt like I said something to the effect of I'm not as successful as I want to be. And the person kind of checked me, and they were like, but you're doing what you love for a living. You've been able to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have fans. You have people that support you. That's success. So for me, it's just I feel like I'm already successful, but I want to reach the next level of success. I want to be able to be in a position to perform for the world, for mm-hmm. people, for the world to hear my art, for people to hear my music and be like, you know, I hear people say to me, your song, this helped me through my day, or this makes me feel a certain type of way. I want the world to be able to say that. That's the ultimate measure of success for me. And then that platform gives me an opportunity to talk about the things that are important to me and talk about the things we deal with as a community. So mm-hmm. that's my success. It's not about money. Money's attached to it because you want to be able to feed your family and do
and
this for a living.
You want to be rewarded.
Right. You want to be rewarded for your hard work. Yes. 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 But that's not the only focus. I feel like if you focus on other things, the money will take care of it. So
it's true.
But if you chase the money, you're going to, that's the type of artist you're going to be. You know those artists. I can tell you 20 of them right now. They chasing the money. They chased the money. They had their little 2 minutes of fame.
Right.
And now their career's over.
Yeah.
They weren't worried about their craft and they weren't worried about doing something positive for the community. So, you know, that's it for me. That would be my success.
In doing this,
mm-hmm.
do you see yourself like a Mick Jagger, like at 75, being probably, on stage?
Probably. Probably. I have no slowdown. I am like the Energizer Bunny. People are like, I don't know how you don't get tired. I'm just, it's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of my DNA. Probably. I don't know if I'll ever stop. As much as I say I'll stop, I don't know if I'll ever stop. Mm-hmm. It's who you are. And when that's who you are.
Yeah, it's almost like being a prize fighter.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You train so much. You're always in the ring.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you have that moment where you have to stop. And you're like, I can't stop.
I can't stop. Charlie Wilson's a perfect example. How old is Charlie Wilson?
Yeah.
Charlie's been doing it for a long time. And he's still killing stages.
Yeah, he does very well.
He's incredible. So, you know, I mean, I believe that you're given a gift and an opportunity for a reason. And until God tells you no more, why not?
Well,
I might be.
It's interesting to me that as soon as Al Jarreau was told he couldn't tour, his health just like.
Right.
I mean, he was already ill, but I think that stage gave him life.
Heartbeat. It's
you know,
your heartbeat.
You could see it.
Yes.
See it when he performed.
Yes.
And when they told him, you're no longer allowed to do that, he just spiraled.
Right. And I mean, you want to have the balance in your personal life.
Right.
But at the same time, I completely get it. I am, when I'm on the stage, big or small, I'm alive. I'm alive outside of that. But the stage
but it's
is
a
my
different,
place. That's my home.
Yeah.
That's my home. And without that, I don't know. I definitely wouldn't be the same person. If I couldn't sing or do music, I wouldn't be the same person.
What would you do?
Right. I won't be me. I don't know who I'd be, but I won't be me. Right. And that's the thing. Right.
Yeah. And that's how you know that's what you're meant to do.
It's legit a part of my DNA. I feel music running through my veins. Even with my son, you know, when I was in the hospital, when I played one of my songs, he immediately calmed down. And my wife was like, wow. It's powerful. It's the number one form of communication that we have. Mm-hmm. Nothing does what music does. So, you know, we have to take that and do what we're supposed to do with it. And that's my job. So.
Well, my daughter, when she was probably like 7,
mm-hmm.
said to me, why does all black music talk about love and heartache?
That's funny.
And I said, well, because that's
what we live.
it is, right. and that's what people are thinking about right. at the moment.
Right.
And she's like, but is it like that all the time?
No.
And I said, no, it's not. Right. Right. I said, but I think in certain spaces in people's lives, mm-hmm. they can relate to this. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's popular.
Right.
You know, everybody's been in a relationship sooner
right.
or later.
Right.
Everybody's had their heart broken mm-hmm. sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Or everybody feels the joy of what it is to be with another person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the music in my time, the stylistics, the Delphonics, you know, the that's moments.
That good music. Oh, my God, that's the good music. And all that gets you by golly. Wow,
yeah.
That's the good yeah. music. But in saying that, when those songs were out, I feel like people carried themselves a certain way.
Yeah.
I think when the music changed, you saw people change.
Yeah.
Music affects true. Who you are as a person. It affects your persona. And it's important for me personally to create music that that everybody can listen to
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Like 90% of my music, everybody's going to be able to listen to it. You not feel like, oh my God, I got to turn this off because the
right.
kid's in the car.
Right.
We had that. The 60s and the 70s and the 50s,
yeah.
it was great music. And you had the young men carrying themselves like gentlemen.
Yeah.
And talking and speaking a certain way. And I feel like that was part of who we were as a person. Even in the 80s and 90s, great, great, great music. And now it's
yeah, I went to see Girls Trip last night.
Okay.
Which I was in tears the whole time. I never have laughed that hard in all
incredible.
My okay. life. Like, I have to go back and see it again.
Right. Right.
Because I was laughing so hard, I missed dialogue coming up right. in the next scene.
Right. Right.
But one of the acts, they went to the Essence Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the acts that they had out, well, they had a couple. They had New Edition.
My boys.
They had Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, goodness, who was the third person? I can't think of him. I could see his face. He had on shirt and tie. But it was like everybody knew the music.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. everybody in the theater was like, yeah,
partying. Right, immediately.
And so it was one of those things where, okay, I know my mom is not necessarily listening to New Edition.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter, with all her of her indie music
because of the movie
not even the movie
before that,
these kids love Poison
right.
by Bell Biv DeVoe
right.
And I mean, she's funny because
right.
you know, that's the last thing, you know, I knew Michael Jackson, she loves Billie Jean,
mm-hmm.
you know, but she's over in another spectrum,
mm-hmm.
but we were in the car
and it came on
she and lost it came it. On and she lost her mind, mm-hmm. she turned up the vibe, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
That's 90s
this is
music.
Not you.
That's not you. You ain't about this life.
You don't know anything about this.
You ain't about this life at all.
It's about Biff DeVoe. What do right. you know about this?
Right.
But it just shows that there are certain things that just stay.
Right.
You know.
Classic music.
It doesn't transcend. Classic it stays.
Music. Right.
Classic you know, music. And New Edition was, they looked really good. They had mm-hmm. on the red blazers mm-hmm. with the black hats mm-hmm. with the sparkled bands.
They are the 80s Temptations.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
the 80s Jackson 5.
Yeah.
They are. That was our generation's version of that. And then Boys the Men took it further
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
So that's the lineage.
Yeah.
That's the lineage.
And it's funny you bring up the Temptations because I was thinking the other day, it's like, I haven't heard anybody sing any Temptation songs. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody. There's certain people, right? Like, for instance, you'll hear people do Stevie Wonder.
Right, right, right.
But you don't hear nobody right. try to do David they're Ruffin's
underappreciated.
Temptations. Mm. You know, you don't hear people
Ain't
do.
Too Proud to Beg. Oh my God, those the vocals on those records.
How I Wish It Would Rain.
Oh,
I mean,
just my imagination.
Yeah.
Yes,
those it's are great very records. Rare that you hear people right. try to do remakes of that music.
Right. Well, I feel like you have to have the vocal ability to do that first.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
and
true.
And artists, a lot of artists, don't necessarily
have
the ability to do that. They're what I call studio singers. They popcorn
yeah,
singers.
Yeah,
true. They get in the studio, they overprocess them, and then they put the record out. And when you hear them live, you're like,
right, right,
well,
right.
That's what you really sound like. You couldn't do that in the 60s
no,
and the 70s.
You had to be able to walk into
you
a studio.
You had to be able to sing.
Yeah.
I've been to Motown.
Yeah.
The actual Motown.
Yeah.
There were no tricks.
Right.
You had to be able to bring it. So in that era, a lot of that is gone now. So that's why you don't see people And they don't even appreciate and understand it. That's kind of
what
got us to this point.
Yeah.
I'm a younger dude, but I'm an old soul. So I even go back to Nat King Cole.
Oh, that was my dad.
The golden era.
Yeah.
Like Nat's voice was like, it was gold. It was gold.
My dad used to sing us Nat King Cole songs
right.
to go to bed.
And Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra.
Frank's my man.
Right. I listen to them as well because the way they articulated records and the importance of the dictation and all of that stuff. I'm a student. You have to be a student.
And Michael Jackson said that. You have to be a student.
Mike is my number one guy. So
for a lot of people your age,
yes, Mike was it for me. Mike shaped me as an artist and still does. I study Mike like I'm not moving. I watched videos from the 70s and the 80s and just watch him, and it was absolutely incredible.
I think the thing for me, you know, I experienced Michael Jackson in several ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a young girl, as mm-hmm. a fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, I Want You Back, that whole mm-hmm. album. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it back mm-hmm. forth, know what it sounds like, the
ABC,
whole thing.
ABC 123.
Right. All mm-hmm. of that. And then, you know, when they took on the Philadelphia sound.
Mm. And that had to happen.
And that really grew him up. And
it transitioned him.
Yeah. And people don't appreciate that era.
It transitioned him to the Off the Wall album.
Yep.
And then Off the Wall transitioned him to Thriller. And then it went from there.
It just went from
Absolutely
there.
Absolutely it did.
And so people don't recognize right. the power in that
right.
and where it took him.
Right.
You know, right. and how it turned him into the artist right. that he became.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it's funny for me in the respect that I went from, like I said, from the young girl who, you know, had all the Jackson 5 posters right. on the wall.
Right. I know you had a glove. I had a glove.
Got it. Now, see, I was older.
Okay.
I was in college when Billie Jean
came out.
So you
couldn't walk around with the glove?
I didn't walk around with the glove.
You was too cool to put a glove?
But I could moonwalk.
Okay. And that's all that matters. You got the glove or you can moonwalk, one or the other.
And then when I became a disc jockey, I was playing his music.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the good fortune of seeing him in person.
Mm.
And I saw him twice. Mm. And that was just, it was an experience
I've never,
oh.
and to this day.
It not only will it leave you speechless,
mm-hmm.
but just to see the different races and mm-hmm. ethnicities
he brought everybody together.
Of people
he brought
in the
everybody.
Audience. And I think for the first time in my life, I saw a young white man
mm-hmm.
with a hand-drawn Michael Jackson mm-hmm. shirt on, and I was just like amazed by
Michael
that.
Transcended race, gender, sexual preference. Michael was one of those people that really, literally brought everybody together. And Stevie and Prince, there were a lot of artists.
There were a lot of artists.
I've had the fortune of seeing Stevie a few times too, and I'm just like, he's incredible. So I can only imagine what Michael was like.
He was, you can't describe it.
Right.
You know, right. you just sit there and you're in awe.
That would be the word.
That's the best thing. That's right. the best thing. So what's next for you?
What's next for me? Put the project out. I got everything ready to go with that and see where it goes. I'm going to have some target areas where we're really trying to actually get the project to a broader base,
mm-hmm.
A broader audience. The first one did very, very well. But this time I wanted to go even bigger.
Okay.
I want to reach as many people as possible. I want them to hear the message of the music. Not necessarily, it's not about me. I'm the messenger. I'm the person that's delivering it. But I need you to hear the song. I need you to understand where the music is coming from.
Name for the project yet? Or you want to wait?
I don't have a name for the project yet.
Okay.
We're working on that.
All right.
We're working on that and all the other particulars, the visuals and all of that, the videos and all that other stuff. So I don't have a name for it. But I feel great about it. I really feel great about it. There's some records up there that have some strong messages.
Just mm-hmm.
dealing with the racial or the racial issues that we're dealing with. There's a little bit of everything. It's a mixture. Like I said, it's a conglomerate of a bunch of different stuff that I was putting together. So, and I write whatever I'm feeling. So
yeah.
it could be this one day. It could be this one day. It could be this one day. I could saw this and, you know, and I put them all together.
So shout out your band.
Mm-hmm. The band is so eclectic. Shout out my guys. I appreciate everybody for coming through, supporting us. Brian, I'm shouting out everybody. Brian, Corey, Gene, Paul, Jeff, Smokey, Jamal, Jessica, Kima, Danielle, everybody that was ever a part of the band, I appreciate you, because I wouldn't be where I'm at today without you. So, oh, and definitely Ryan, and just everybody that's been a part of it. So,
last but not least, any performances coming up?
I have a performance this Saturday, actually, at a place in Meriden. It's called the Red Room Grill. It's on, I think it's on Colony Road in Meriden. So I'm there. And I have a couple of private events. I'm actually going to be probably doing something downtown again soon. So,
okay.
But as of right now, that's kind of on hold. But that was going well. So I'd like to be in that area too. Because you get a wide range of people.
Yeah.
And people that just love music.
Yeah.
It's about the music. It's about the music. Like, everybody's always get me to try to ask me to talk about me. And I'm like, the music. It's about the music. That's the most important thing for me. If you see me, know my music. And that makes me happy.
And that makes the difference.
That's it. That's it.
So once the EP comes out, you have to come back.
Of course.
And hopefully it won't take you as long this time.
I'm here. I'm here. Life is real.
I've only had two guests that have been difficult to get.
Right.
He is one.
But I wasn't trying to be difficult. Life was just...
Life gets in the way.
But I moved it to the side today.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys being here.
Right.
You know, because I think one of the great things about this station is that we get the opportunity to really showcase what goes on in New Haven.
Yeah.
And certainly you are part of that.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So this is a moment for you to express.
Yeah.
Not only to talk about your musical talents, but what you're doing in the city. Right. And I think you're very much appreciated.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, like I said, for me, being from here, living here most of my life, it's very important to still be here and to inspire people and to show them that, listen, you can live your dream. Doesn't matter what neighborhood you come from, what people think about you, you can live your dreams. You just got to be focused and work your behind off and don't let nothing stop you. Somebody get in the way, you run them over.
But bottom line is hold on. Right?
And hold on. And be humble. Don't let a little bit of fame get you to the point where you think that you're better than people. Because I've seen it happen a lot. And it's a lot. It happens a lot here.
Yes. It happens a lot.
A lot.
And I've seen it too. Right. And
right.
Ain't pretty.
It's not at all. Not at all. Pretty. You will never get that from me. Not who I am. That's not who I am at all. So.
Well, like you said, you're an artist.
Yes.
And
that's the most important thing.
That's the most important thing to you. Right. Manny James Sorrell, thank you so much for coming in and being here today.
I appreciate it.
I will be at your next public function.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Because it keeps me on the dance floor. I don't know about anybody else. But
sounds good to me.
Me and the squad on the dance floor.
The squad be ready. They'll be ready to turn up.
The squad is on the dance floor when you're in the house.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That means a great deal to me. So
thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
This has been the show for this Thursday. Come back next week. You never know who's going to be on the show right here on 103.5 FM WNHH, New Haven Independent.org.